Hey Dan. Happy Wednesday. And what the hell is this siren going on?
The siren in our county, Johnson County, Kansas, heartland of America. The first Wednesday of every month, they test the sirens across for tornado warnings, nuclear warnings, any kind of warnings. They test the
So here's the
sirens
problem.
throughout
If
the
we have a
county.
tornado on the first Wednesday of a month, we will not be prepared.
The timing would be very interesting, wouldn't it? And that's
Yeah, we won't
why
be prepared. So,
our county has on the phone, it'll send you an
oh, but
alert on your phone.
it's stupid. Here's a simpler way. On the test, they go beep, 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 beep. And on the real thing, they go beep. So the person who's listening can differentiate without having to go to some code book. It's really simple, but why would they do something simple?
Exactly.
And what I mean, it's so simple because all they got to do is change the way they do the test. You know, we do tests on software the same way. We actually do it in an area that has no impact on the real software. And
Yes,
by the way,
the test servers mean there should be a test server like thing.
that's
Well,
a,
you know
no,
what
it's a
though,
test
Bob?
code. It's no, the server doesn't have to be the same server. The code is different. Instead of going beep, they go beep, beep, beep. Now we know that if it's a beep, 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 it's a test. If it's a continuous beep, it's a tornado. So what I mean is they need to have the code. I can then know the code. Right now, I don't know. Is a goddamn tornado coming on here now? Or is they just testing? I don't know that.
I can alert you that it's safe, but here's the thing: in the great world of bantering, which is this name of this podcast, Banter with Bob and Dan,
Yeah.
the sirens at 11 o'clock on the first Wednesday on the scale of say 1 to 100, this is probably at an 8 or 9 of significance. And today I know we have things to banter about of higher significance, so
Like
we'll just
what? Well, for
leave.
example, you and I both go to a cardiologist, right?
Yes.
And we get EKGs, right? Or
EKGs, yeah.
echocardiograms, right?
Yeah.
And we always ask the guy when we leave, hey, what does it look like, right? Now he knows right then.
Yes.
He's seen hundreds of these echoes.
Yes.
He knows if it's, he may not know the same thing as the doctor, but he knows it looks good, looks different, whatever, right?
I ask them, I always have conversations. They do, depending on the day, anywhere from 15 to 18, as high as 21 one day. So they do about 15 of these a day.
A massive money maker for a hospital.
Absolutely. I think it's
Now,
about
they
a
won't
thanks to
tell you. So
insurance.
fundamentally, if it's bad, you won't know for 24 hours.
Well, inquiring minds like you, because you're the best question asker I know when we were on the radio. I do ask questions to learn that from you. I said, "Well, what if you saw something bad?" He said, "Well," he said, "we have two things. One, we would call in our supervisor, and two, we would call your cardiologist right here while you're here if there we saw something bad." So there
So
are some level
therefore, he's now told you an important piece of information.
that I'm basically looking good
Right.
without
Because
telling me.
I noticed, by the way, Mr. Technician, you didn't call the cardiologist, right? So even though you've said you're not going to tell me anything, you've now told me something.
That's right. That's right. And I use all my winsomeness that I can muster to try to say, "Look, I know you could tell me you'd have to kill me." I'm joking with the guy. I say, "I know I won't hold you. I won't say Ben said this. I'll forget it. But can you tell me, should I be
Well,
optimistic?"
I never ask them to tell me anything
You don't.
because I know they don't want to speak. No, I say something like, smile if it looks good. That's all. You didn't tell me
That's
anything, right?
what I used to use with my kids. Whatever
There
you
you go.
do, don't smile if you're
But what's the
guilty
what are we
of
but
eating
what's
that
the
cookie.
issue? The issue here is that the legal system has embedded itself so deeply inside the health system. That although somebody knows right now if it looks good or bad or indifferent, they can't tell you. Because some lawyer somewhere has written the rules of instructions for the technician, says, do not tell the patient what's going on unless he's dying.
Yes.
In which case, call the cardiologist.
Yes. But
I'm really
I'll
saying
find
is
out.
That, go ahead.
The breaking news of my recent echocardiogram, yeah, will find out tomorrow.
Now, let me ask you a question, right? You've been doing these echoes for a while, right?
Well, I've just had three of them.
Okay, so three. Now, what's the measure, the numerical measure of a echo?
The particular thing they're looking for in me is something I'd never heard this term, but in your heart, it's going boom, 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 boom. And there's something called an EF, which means,
okay,
and I always get it wrong, not injection fraction.
But let me ask you again, Dan, because you're not answering my question. Is there a numerical measure for an echo? Like
there
100%
is. There, for what the particular thing, you have this EF factor. When I had my heart attack 6 months ago in a day, my heart was at like 25 to 30. Now,
wait, might stop right there. 25 to 30 what?
EF measurement. It's called
what is
EF.
It? What
I
is
don't
it?
I don't expect exactly know what the EF means,
so,
but it's
so what I'm driving at, then there's no numerical measure. If you know it's 25 to 30 of EF, we don't know what that means.
Well, a perfect heart is like 55 to 60 is my understanding. And I'm not a medical professor, so a professional, so caveat, don't believe everything
so
is
in other
perfect.
Words, again, I don't know what this EF means. I know when I've done my echoes, they measure, I'll call it subjectively, not objectively, subjectively, the performance of your heart.
Yes.
Now, as far as I know, there's no objective measure that they're doing. They're observing it. And they're saying, you're operating at about 25% capacity. Observation. Subjective, not objective. There's no measurement going on.
Well,
no
all I know is
numerical measurement. You know what a numerical measurement is? Is when you take a ruler and measure something. If you look at a picture and say it's 30%, that's not a numerical measurement.
Here's the numbers. And I was in the yeah, moment of the heart attack, 25-30. Then when I left the hospital, I was 35-40.
Whatever, 35 to 40 of something, right?
Yeah, that improved. And then I was, like, my second echocardiogram was 40 to 45.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that this one will be 45 to 50 or 50.
Why?
To 50.
Why do you hope that?
Because that just tells them that my heart is growing stronger and improving.
We don't know. What does that mean? Let's say you're at 45 today and 50 tomorrow. What does that mean? See,
well,
I go around.
We need
I
to
go,
bring a cardiologist professional here into
no,
our.
They don't know either. I go round and round with my cardiologist about this. I said, look, I don't hear any crap about these numbers. Just tell me the probability that I'm going to have a heart attack as of today versus a year ago. And they'll say, the last time the cardiologist, well, a year ago, you were probably, because your heart had irregular, beats, maybe you were, 2 in 100, 2%. 2 in 100 chance. Now you're at maybe 1 in 100. So in other words, I've gone through all this crap and now I'm 1 in 100, right? 2 in 100 is pretty good. If I'd have known it was 2 in 100 versus 1 in 100, I wouldn't have gone to the hospital and spent $80,000 on a cardiologist.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. If you have a bad valve or a irregular heart rhythm where they go in and they can heat up the valve and make it open, I understand that part. That's a physical thing they can do. They can observe that you have a problem and they can go fix it. But this whole echocardiogram thing and the echo to me is just black box. That's all. There's nothing going on there they can really identify. I argue with my cardiologist about it. Going back to EKG, my guy, who's a pretty nice guy, I like him a lot, and he'll do an EKG on me, and I'll look at my watch, and I'll say, oh, well, you're almost as good as my watch.
Well,
and he said, yeah, I, he said, it's the same thing.
We have to, you know, this is a whole concept of America and the concept of trust, whether it's trust Washington, D.C., trust law enforcement, trust lawyers, trust doctors. I have a reasonably high degree of trust for the multiple professionals that I'm dealing with in the medical. Now, as a sidebar for banter, because we care about, you know, right now during the holiday season, there's some companies that do year-end life scan screening. It's only like $149 to $179. Tells you, they do your carotid artery, they do your neck, different arteries, tell you if you're susceptible to a stroke, heart attack, anything. I would encourage our listeners, viewers, check that out online, put in Lifeline Screening, I think it is, .com. I'm not endorsing any company, but I'm going to have it done, and it will give you peace of mind, or it will alert you. So I'm just trying to care about our banter listeners.
Well,
we might save a life.
Maybe.
I'm optimistic.
I'm not convinced. If you look at the history of medicine, it's a history of trial and error. Although we have advanced a long way from putting leeches on your sores, although that may still work. I don't know. They may still do that in some cities. and we've gone a long way from, well, the only thing we'll have to do is cut this guy and bleed him to death. And then they wonder why he died. Well, Christ, he ran out of blood. it's a big mistake, I think, to take the entire medical profession or any profession and put them on a statue in a kind of iconic way and say they know what they're doing. I would prefer if my cardiologists admit they don't know what they're doing. This is their best guess. Instead of telling me they know what they're doing. And that's now that's an exception. And I'm going to be careful here because my son would get all over me on this. But the exception is when they see an issue like a valve is not opening or closing, such as irregular heart rhythm. That's a physical thing they can see, and they can go in and correct it.
Yeah, yeah, that is interesting. And in my case, healthy, a referee basketball year round, had a resting heart rate of 58, low blood pressure, always in like 112 over 58.
There you go, right? And you have a heart
great shape, strong heart, great lungs, never been sick, never had any issues. Everything's perfect, and I have a heart attack, which they deemed was a pretty serious one. And 4 months later, the cardiologist doctor said, you can go back to refereeing, which is running the equivalent up and down the court fast with college-age players sprinting. They say you run the equivalent cardio of 2.5 to 3 miles.
Yeah, there you go, right? So anyway.
And I'm better.
On the banter side, I was reading a lot of information this morning about the tariffs again. And China has now blocked the shipment of apparently key metals back in the United States. These are metals or that we use, for example, they blocked a thing called, what is it called anyway? Oh, gallium.
Gallium, weird name.
These physics symbols, right? The symbolic table, right? Anyway, so now we can't get any germanium or gallium. But I also noticed that they blocked those shipments in the United States, but they didn't block them into other countries.
So
what does that mean?
That means
other country will buy them.
And they'll sell them to the United States.
Well, they'll be more clever than that. Japan will buy them. Japan will sell them to France. France sell them to the UK, and UK will sell them to us, and they'll all be sold by the same company because all these multinational companies in the United States have offices in all these other countries. So Ford Japan, for example, can take this product, but Ford USA can't because shipment in the USA. So this is the issue of tariffs is that they don't have a way of blocking the entire supply chain. But it's just amazing to me how the press kind of like talks about it and blows it up instead of really kind of explain to people that how's it really going to happen? Now, will it push the prices up of these materials? Probably, right? But in many of these cases, in a typical, let's say, $40,000 automobile, the price of this particular metal might be 10 cents. So if it doubles to 20, hasn't hurt him. I've seen that myself, by the way, in my old days when I was in Europe and dealing with tariffs and licenses all the time. And we sold they'd block stuff from the going from France to the United States, and our France company would sell it to our English company or to our London company would sell it back to the United States. It got here anyway. And
Well, I
all
think
the same company.
my take, it has to do with timing. And in the
Yeah.
big picture, over, say, 5, 6, 7, 10 years for
Yeah.
sure, the concept of tariffs, with the goal being bringing manufacturing of products, things back to the United States, that would be good because then there would be no tariffs because they wouldn't be coming in from China, Mexico,
Yeah.
Canada. However, in the short term,
Yeah.
it will impact, and you know how the American population will be sensitive if gas prices go up or the cost of things go up because of tariffs. Then there will be an outcry to about Donald Trump and these tariffs. Now, his picture in the big picture, I get it. There's got to be a better way of finding a way to bringing back, maybe by incentives, rather than punishing companies here because they have to tack on. For instance, I have a good friend that worked with a one-time giant of retail, Sears, which is now defunct, right? That, I mean, Sears at one time, you got the Sears catalog, the Christmas catalog. It was like, I don't know, 1,000 pages, amazing. Now we just go on Amazon. But he was in charge of all the design for the products of Sears, the washing machines, refrigerators,
Sears has gone away.
and
So,
Sears has gone away. But when Trump put the tariffs on, this is going back 7 years ago, all the prices they had to charge went significantly up, like 15, 20% on household items like a stove or washing machine.
So
So
I
in the
guess you
short,
didn't understand what I just said, right?
what's that?
You didn't understand what I just said.
I'm just looking at the big picture of tariffs.
Well, what did I just say about the impact of tariffs on the price of goods?
Yeah, you said it would go up.
By maybe a couple of pennies.
Well, you're talking about a 10-cent product, but when a product is normally $400
Yeah.
and you increase its cost 20%,
Yeah,
then
that's a different kind of tariff. The what I was talking about a minute ago was tariffs or blocking shipments of individual minerals or metals, right? You're talking about a tariff on the whole product, which is absolutely right. But there's a big difference between what I just said, which is true, and what you said, which is a tariff on a whole product. But Sears didn't go away because of tariffs. Sears went away because they realized they thought for a long time they were a real estate company. They realized what they really was a goods company. My folks always bought. My dad always said, "Go to Sears and buy the most expensive washer and dryer they have. They'll be perfect." But Sears fell down in maintenance. They fell down in products. They didn't understand online buying, and bingo, they're gone. So I don't know who your friend was, but to me, it's just amazing that a lot of younger people still believe, "Oh, well, all our companies will stick around." But here, you gave a great example of a large successful company. And by the way, I did a couple of expert witness engagements where Sears data was involved. And I had to look at a copy of a Sears catalog from 1897. I think I may
No
have
kidding.
that. And it is more fun to read the Sears catalog of 1897 than reading a comic book when they talk
Exactly. Yeah,
about
I remember
buying.
when you'd be at home and the Sears catalog would come in, and my mom would say, "The Sears catalog is here." I'd come in like October, late October.
It was incredible. I mean, if you look at the ads in the 1897 is 127 years ago. Of course, it was one of the main buying magazines of rural America.
Yeah, absolutely. Like
And
Popular Science Magazine or
you
Popular
would see these
Mechanics.
ads for cigars and saddle soap and dresses for women. I mean, the ads were just they were just incredible.
You know what's
Just
interesting
reading it
is
was funny.
Amazon right now is starting to sell these tiny homes for 30,000, 40,000,
Yeah,
50,000 tiny
right.
homes. And I can remember when or I've seen old Sears catalogs where they were selling home. You basically bought all the wood, all the thing to set it up, basically a home, same thing.
By the
So if
way,
you,
how does the sewer system work and the water system for these tiny homes?
well,
How does it work?
you have to either put it on a piece of property where it's got some form of sewer, or you have to build a sewage system in your yard.
Yeah. Or a how do
I
you get the
think the
water in?
future
How do you get the water in?
for young men like me, people retired or say 55 plus, is to create these, go out and buy a bunch of land, these tiny home neighborhoods where you got in the center a
Yeah.
pickleball court, a pool, maybe a Quick Trip.
Yeah.
And maybe, oh, this just came to me. Ding, ding, ding. Brilliant idea. Brain hurricanes. What's what we do here in the Banter? Because Quick Trip's big in real estate. Get Quick Trip to be the center of a neighborhood. And you can put probably three or four of these tiny homes, two bedrooms, two baths, on that. And with all a walking trail, dog park, pickleball court. If you want to invest in
By the
this
way,
great idea,
we have
reach.
many of those things already in existence. They call them trailer parks, and there's mobile homes there, and they
It's
have.
like the future. It's the new age trailer
Oh,
park.
they're all over right now. They're if you go to Palm Springs, there's dozens of them that you have a mobile home that's become now permanent by blocking it up, and they
Yeah.
have tennis courts, swimming pools, pickleball courts. Some of them have golf courses.
And why not in the Midwest, huh? Why not in the
Well, who wants
Midwest?
to live here? You know, the only people who want to live here are the people that were born here, moved here with their job. Otherwise, you want to live in, you know what the temperature is in Florida today? Or not Florida, but Phoenix? 80 degrees and sunny.
80 degrees and sunny. I think
Hey,
places
listen.
like Southwest Kansas that has a nice air, less humid climate, you can buy 1,000 acres.
What's going on, by the way, with AT&T? Do you use AT&T?
I do not. I haven't used any AT&T products since the early 90s.
Weren't
I
they
had a
broken
cell
up into
phone.
nine separate companies?
Yeah, their big thing is, I think, maybe for stock pricing or whatever. They're talking about how great their system, their 5G or the next level of
Right.
internet and communication is going to be.
But I mean, I don't use AT&T. Is AT&T involved in streaming? They must be, huh?
Oh yeah, they've got big, besides the phones, they've got big, where I live, the neighborhood I live, they're always touting their Wi-Fi. Now, I do know I have 1 gigabyte speed with Spectrum. Now Spectrum should
Yeah.
pay me money for saying their name on air, but AT&T actually can give you 2 gigabytes of speed for about $20 more, and their
What does
one
that mean,
gig.
2 gigabytes anyway? What speed are we using right now for our streamings, for
Well,
our
I don't know
Wi-Fi?
I don't know who you have or what you have, but
Well, what do
I
you have?
am. If I do a speed test, which we could do live here, my
Yeah.
speed is up around usually about 600 or 700 megabytes. And
Megabytes
my
per what? Per hour, per minute, per
per
second?
per their measurement process per
What
second,
is
I
it? Per
guess.
second?
Gosh, Bob, you always ask the greatest questions, of which
Well, when
I
you talk
don't
about
know.
speed,
I
you
just
need to
know it's
know what
their
the speed
measurement.
is, right? Huh?
It's just their measurement. But I have like 4 TVs, an iPhone, desktop,
Yeah.
laptop. I have about 8 items,
With
and
all that,
including
you
my.
still don't know what your speed is, right?
Well, let's go to our assistant, Google Assistant. Hey, Google, what is the Wi-Fi internet speed meaning? What's the word I'm looking for, Bob?
I don't know.
It's upload. You've got upload for streaming movies, which means what can come to you, and attending Zoom means, especially for gamers, they need
Yeah,
high
what?
speed.
No, streaming is affected by download. Upload is when you put a
That's
keystroke in.
right. That's right. My bad. My bad.
Anyway,
Yes.
it's gigabytes
I
per
got the words
second.
backwards.
Now, but here's the point. So I'm reading this thing about AT&T that they expect $18 billion in free cash flow thanks to 5G and blah, blah, blah. So what I'm thinking about is I don't even know about what AT&T does anymore. I mean, I remember Bell Labs, but I use do you use AT&T anything?
No, I use T-Mobile, which formerly was Sprint,
Yeah.
and Kansas City companies, so we supported them, and they do a good job on the phones,
Yeah.
and I use Spectrum for my internet.
Yeah. All right. That's how it works. Spectrum. So where does AT&T figure in all this thing, Phil? You know,
Well, they're trying to get their market share. Hey, Google, turn your volume up to 6. Hey,
yeah.
Google, what percentage of the internet connection service does AT&T own nationally?
According to Wikipedia, AT&T operates the second largest 5G network in the US with approximately 30% of the nation covered.
Okay, they have about 30% of in the second largest network. Hey, Google, who has the largest internet connection in the nation and customer base?
I couldn't find an answer to that specific question, but according to worldpopulationreview.com, China leads the world with the highest number of internet users, with only slightly more than half of its total
What does
population.
she say?
I'd see, well, I didn't ask the question right. Hey,
Is he?
Google, who is the largest internet provider in the United States?
Sure. Here's some helpful information I found on the web.
Oh, very interesting. Very interesting. Here we go.
What's the answer?
Subscriptions. Charter Spectrum, 30 million. Verizon, 8.5 million. Cox, 5.5 million. Now, where's
Yeah, those
AT&T
are
on
all
this?
cable providers, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
You see, let me kind of like break it down for our listeners. In the entire spectrum of the internet,
But I found
there
these
are
results
three
also.
parts that are relevant. Now, I'll start with the last part first. The last part is going from your house router out to a what called a router serviceable. So you have them in your backyard or down the street, right? That's
Right.
one connection. Now, that might be Google, it could be Verizon, it could be any local company, right? So that
Right.
goes from your router internally, usually Wi-Fi inside your house, but it's usually hooked up to a cable box inside
Right.
your house, right? And that cable runs out to a cable receiver out, in my case, it's my backyard. So let's call that section one. Now, section two is getting from that box, right, to let's say a larger station or to a satellite. And
Yes.
section three is going from the creator of the content to the satellite, down to the box, through a cable into your house, which you access by Wi-Fi. Now, different companies have tried to get different parts of that. I think what AT&T has is probably the part that goes from, let's say, a satellite down to a large serving station, alcohol serving station, right? I don't think they're the leader in going from the serving station into your house. And the Wi-Fi that's provided is really the cable router. I mean, Wi-Fi in your house is provided by a piece of software, right?
Correct. Yeah.
So, but my router has a cable hookup to it. Anyway, I'm just
So
saying when
there's the
we talk
question.
about
Here's
internet access, or we
a
just talk
question
about it,
for you.
huh?
Oh, great soothsayer and predictor of the future and
Yeah.
experienced man of technology you are. When will we, a lot of people are using satellite phones.
Right.
And Elon Musk has the satellites that allow for satellite
Right.
phones. When do you think we'll move from 5G or 3G or LTE cellular towers to everything is not based on a tower that you're near, but a satellite?
As soon as we all get smart. And going back to the issue, right now, people like AT&T will lobby against that. They want their towers to be used. They want the cable to be used. If I could
Oh,
buy a
mobile
satellite
phones.
phone today reasonably, right, and get access with it, I'd probably do it. But you can call anywhere in the world with the satellites. So, but you've got all these people in the middle that have to be moved away. And so Elon, all you got to do is look at what Elon Musk is doing and just say in 5 years we'll all be doing it, right? And because this guy is he may be from another planet.
He's from the future.
But anyway, going back to the other day, you were making some predictions about who was going to get who was going to turn in their nomination, and I read today,
Withdraw.
huh?
Who was going to withdraw? You heard it here first. I told you Pete Hegseth is going to
Did he
be,
withdraw?
well, if I would be, he will withdraw by Sunday.
Did he withdraw?
Yeah. And to the best of my knowledge, he's not withdrawn as of
Okay.
11:35 Central Time.
What's this guy in Florida that was appointed the some big job, and
Oh,
he did,
Sheriff
yeah.
Chad Chronister was going to be the head of the DEA.
Right. And why did he withdraw?
Oh, you know, I love sheriffs. I used to sell software to technology to law enforcement. I just sheriffs are a combination of course, you know, I held elective office, but they are elected, so they have a little bit of they have a heart to serve in law enforcement. They're also a politician, but they also really have a lot of control over the counties. In many states, depending on the state, sheriffs are the power. And I think he withdrew because of some pressure. And what's happening is, and I think Donald Trump, first I'll caveat, he's had some good appointments, some I'm not fans of. Matt Gaetz, I predicted, was bad and would be gone, and he was.
Do you know why the sheriff withdrew?
Well, some Trump supporters, the deep MAGA, the people that don't like MAGA, they're saying we don't like this guy because little, I mean, if you want to find something wrong about Bob Sherwood or
Okay,
Dan
do you
Snell,
know
you can.
why the sheriff withdrew? Have you read anything? Has anybody told you?
I'm getting there. I'm
Well,
getting there. You
please
have to
get
have some
there.
patience. It's a quality I'm working on.
I don't want
Your
to hear the
listeners will
history of the
probably
sheriff's
enjoy that I'm
politics.
working on your patience always.
Yeah.
Some people thought during COVID, a lot of Trump, MAGA, that he was too supportive of MAGA rules, like you can't go to church,
Yeah.
and so he arrested a pastor. I'm not saying that was bad because he was following
I
the
get
law
it.
of the
You're just
land.
telling us what you read. Go
Yeah,
ahead.
and so he was too strong upholding the law of the land, which kind of bothers me that people will get mad because they don't like the whole COVID issue and what happened. That's a whole discussion for another day. But he is chartered and elected to uphold the law of the land. And so he this pastor in defiance, which the
Yeah.
pastor shouldn't have done, because the Bible says, honor those
Yeah.
in authority above you. The
God
pastor went to
Almighty.
hell and had church, and Chronister arrested him. The other thing I heard was, which is interesting, is he married well. He married Eddie DiBartolo, I think is the owner of the San Francisco 49ers. He married his daughter. And
What has this got to do with him withdrawing?
well, the political scandal of he's getting appointed because Trump is friends with this and the MAGA people don't like him. It's just the pressure that people put on Trump. And he
Okay, so let
decided.
me ask you another question, since that one is obviously too tough for you. Why? Here's what I don't get. Trump submits these people for these jobs. Now, obviously, he's talked to them already. This guy he submitted, and before he even goes, the guy takes his name out of the hat. Why would Trump even announce it if he knows the guy is going to take his name out of the hat? Why wouldn't Trump say, "I'm going to announce you, Sheriff, blah blah. I'm going to announce this job," and if the guy does the guy say, "Oh, I'm going to take it," then the next day he calls and says, "You know, I've thought about it. I'm not going to take it." To me, it's a negative sign on his staff that he submits somebody, and before he even hits the press, this guy is saying, "No, I'm not going to take it." Well.
Yeah, I think that sometimes Donald Trump listens to people. He likes loyalty, and he listens to people that fill him up with grandiose ideas that he can take credit for, and then he realizes, ooh, that wasn't a good idea. Has Donald Trump
No,
ever
wait, wait, wait
flip-flopped?
a minute, wait a minute.
Absolutely.
He hasn't said it's a bad idea. You're missing my point again. He has a staff that checks these out.
But they don't, listen, if you watch his staff, they're the people that write his speeches. I think his speechwriters are horrific.
Okay,
I'll
are you
just say that.
suggesting that his staff didn't check with the sheriff before he announced it, and determine that the sheriff was going to or not going to accept it? Are you saying the staff didn't call the guy on the phone?
I mean, I don't know. I imagine that they absolutely did and interviewed him. But he doesn't have any, he's got local law enforcement strength, obviously. Yeah,
but that's
a successful sheriff, and I applaud him. I like the guy from what I can see.
Yeah, that's not
very
my
much.
Is,
however, he doesn't have any international drug. He doesn't have any.
I didn't even bring up that point. It may all be true.
Well, you said why Trump's staff did a bad job? Because the guy is an awesome local sheriff, but knows nothing about DEA enforcement, international.
That's nothing to do with it, Dan. He has elected himself. He's taken himself out of the running. The issue is, did he just decide to do that? If the staff called him on the phone and says, hey, sheriff, we're going to nominate you. Are you going to accept it? If he's not going to accept it, he would say, no, it's not anything. It's experience. And he just withdrew his name. And I'm saying I would be firing my staff. I'd say, my God, staff, I just announced this big deal. Didn't you even ask this guy if he's going to take the job?
Well, I'm sure that he said, yeah, I would. And then he thought through it and the repercussions.
Well, if that's the case, then I would cut this guy off my list completely. If on Monday at 12 o'clock, he says, I'm going to take it. On Tuesday at 12:30, says, I've changed my mind. Well, then again, I'd have to fire my staff. Right? Because you guys didn't do a good enough job vetting this guy. He changed his mind in 24 hours.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, okay. Let's give a firsthand example. So Donald Trump calls you without any real vetting, which is what the problem with his staff is. They think they're above really vetting.
Well, we don't know. You don't know that. And I don't know.
They have not had an FBI check. The fact of the matter is,
you know anybody on his staff?
The fact of the matter is, there has been, the FBI has not been asked to vet any of his appointees.
Do you know anybody on his staff?
I don't care about that. The fact of the matter is, the FBI
is. You're not listening to me.
And you're not listening to me.
To that.
Of course, I don't know anybody on his staff.
Well, then,
I don't care.
Don't use personal knowledge. Just say, according to sources.
According to the FBI.
Now, that's better.
And according to the Office of Management and Budget. He has not signed the ethics document that says, I'm going to do these things ethically in the transition of power. Yeah. And he's not asked the FBI to vet any of his appointees. So that
according to what source? The FBI source?
The FBI has in writing said that to news sources.
Yeah. You know what the news people do? I don't know if you read this very carefully, but I do. The news people always cover their ass when they report something. They will say, according to sources. They never say personal knowledge. That's what I was objecting to. That's what I hear many politicians do. They won't say according to sources. They'll just say, my personal knowledge of Americans, my personal knowledge of the FBI. When you say, I know something, that's personal knowledge. If you say, according to the FBI sources, I have no problem with that.
Yeah, which is a whole great conversation about how we get back integrity in media and people. Yeah. You know, Donald Trump won the election going around saying that in Africa, they're taking all the criminals from the insane asylums and the mental institutions and sending them to America. You know, so somebody told Donald Trump that. Somebody offhand said, I think they're bringing them in from insane asylums. And he put it out there and he got elected. Factual?
You're doing it again. You're saying things without a nexus. And I'll let you do that, because why he got elected is very complex. Who knows exactly what all the reasons were? Maybe it was this African thing you're talking about or something else. But let's jump around another area for a second.
Okay.
What do you think about Biden and pardoning Hunter?
Pardoning his son?
Yeah.
Well, you know, my basic life program is, let's move on to the future and the solutions. Be a solutioneer. Yeah. The S of Winsome. Be a solutioneer. That has nothing to do with the future 2025 and beyond in the next presidency. As a father, and people will argue that sucks. As a father, I believe he made a decision to support his son. I don't fault him, because I'm not focusing on how bad Joe Biden is. I think Joe Biden didn't do a very good job in appointing people himself, and therefore a lot of
Let's kind of stay on the son for a second. The issue for his son, by the way, what he's getting criticized for, what I read, is because he said equivocally he would never pardon his son.
Well, and in life, in business, you know, I was in technology sales for a long time and also in politics. And a lot of a key phrase that's often used is, I didn't lie, the truth changed.
Yeah, well,
and so in this case, some of the things changed from when he said that.
Fine. He pardoned his son. I don't care if he said he wasn't going to do it or not. When it hits the fan, you're going to take care of your family. So he pardoned his son. And I don't think he gives a crap about the Democrats who say, well, you shouldn't have pardoned your son because you said you weren't going to do it. I think he should just say, well, I changed my mind. So what?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what's it got to do with 2025 and moving the country forward? Plus, whenever you throw mud, my pastor, Jimmy Dodd, once said when I was elected official, he says, don't worry about those people that throw mud because they can throw all the mud they want. But if you look at their hand, they're still going to have mud all over their hand because that's their nature is to pick up mud.
And the Democrats are making the same mistake they always make. They're doing it again by saying to Biden, oh, you shouldn't have done it because you said you weren't going to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's
well, Democrats, Republicans, what kills me is I mean, in both sides. Has Donald Trump ever said, I don't know anything about $180,000 payment to Stormy Daniels? He's on the airplane, national TV.
Yeah.
I don't know anything. I've never heard of, I don't know who this person is. I've never heard of a payment of $180,000 when he authorized it. So my point is, I run my life by, am I going to accuse somebody? Oh, let me finish. Let me finish.
Check,
right? Let me finish.
You're cutting out again now. I can see your mouth not moving, which is
incredible. I run my life by, I'm not going to box in the glass house.
Yeah, your internet is cutting out again, Dan.
Yeah, it says it's unstable.
Yeah, I believe it. Anyway, how many minutes do we have left, by the way?
Well, we've gone now about 40 minutes. So we're just having so much fun. The listeners and viewers just know, man, these guys rock and roll live. Move over, Joe Rogan or anybody. We're gonna take over.
I got two quick things. First, the company that I mentioned yesterday, Nebius, which is formed by a Russian internet guru, which is opening up this big place in Kenton, Missouri, the stock went up again about 17% today.
Wow.
And so it's up like, I don't know, 300% in about a week and a half. I don't know anything more about what they're doing in Kansas City. I've tried to look for some information on it, but as usual, Kansas City probably doesn't even know it yet. That's how much we're in the
It's in the caves.
They
in,
probably
in the caves.
It could be. They could be doing it in the caves, but the caves are pretty well controlled now by groups of people. So my guess is that they bought some property. They specifically say it's Kansas City, Missouri. So there's a lot of open property out in southern Kansas City, Missouri. They could probably go out there and buy 100 or 200 acres out by Martin City and build it there. But again, no one in Kansas City seems to know about it. It's pretty typical here. But, you know, whatever, when they do decide to come in, there'll be a big political discussion on dividing up the benefits and who sold them coming into Kansas City and all the other crap, right?
I've got a crack expert, a guy named Mike, we both know, who is the finest, most professional and best salesperson I've ever known. He's looking into it because he's interested in what they're doing.
Is he looking into it?
Yeah, he's looking into it. What I've read is it might be in the caves, which for our banter listeners, if you're in the Kansas City metro area, if you've never asked or found a way to get into the caves, they are in a remarkable experience, the underground limestone caves.
You're probably right about that. I know there's a lot of wine storage there.
Yeah, well, they're constant 67 degrees.
I didn't even think about that, but you're absolutely right. Here's an area we totally agree on. Because that would be ideal for servers.
Exactly. You don't have to have all that air conditioning
power.
Oh, my gosh.
That is, you're probably right on. You know, my son worked down there for a while, and I've been in them many times. And I've been over to Park College, and their library is totally built in the caves. It's underground.
Yeah, there's offices down there.
I got one more thing I want to throw out before we sign off here, and that is Have you read about this guy out of Stanford? He's a misinformation expert. That's his expertise, right? So he's an expert on misinformation, and I think he might be a professor at Stanford or associated with Stanford. Anyway, he goes to trial and submits a report that's written by one of the chatbots, and they found out about it, right? And he writes a letter of apology. He says, I express my sincere regret for any confusion this may have caused, Hancock wrote. He's a professor of misinformation who provided misinformation. What he did
Misinformation. I
was
love it.
he quoted an article, and I've heard of a couple of these guys. He quoted an article by Wang, Zhang, and Wang. That's
Wang,
how you
Zhang, and
pronounce it.
Wang.
Anyway, he quoted this article. It didn't even exist. The article didn't
Now,
exist.
you know,
He quoted several other articles. He quoted the articles, and he got all that from chat, and the articles don't even exist.
it's classic. Classic culture today is I read it on the internet, so it must be true.
It's unbelievable. Hancock is an expert witness, right? Declared in his report a reference to a study by authors that did not exist. Hancock
Which
said,
is,
"Oh, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to do that."
yeah.
But
Well,
no, but
hopefully AI is self-learning and the AI is learning. Oops, I better make sure I have my data correct.
No, but here's the ultimate irony. What was he testifying on as an expert?
Misinformation.
Misinformation. So here he is, a misinformation expert. And maybe that was his whole idea. See the damage misinformation can do?
That's right. Yeah, it's
So I'm thinking he might have said, that was exactly what I wanted to do. I wanted to show the court, if you use misinformation, how damaging it can become. Well, Mr.
Yeah.
Hancock, you've succeeded beyond your wildest dreams, right? And now you are definitely not only a expert in misinformation, you're an expert in using misinformation to throw the
That's
court.
right. Get the facts as my the guy I replaced in my
Yeah.
city council seat, oh, 82-year-old Hungarian, he'd say, Dan, get the facts. Get the facts, because you always have people giving you baloney. But we have
Okay,
been, I'll
sign
tell
us
you
off,
what.
Dan. That's all I got today. That's a bunch of stuff for today. I hope people think about this stuff, and we got to get Mike Traw in to give us a update on the on how do you pronounce that? Nebius.
Nebius, yeah, Nebius, 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 and where that Kansas City connection's going to come in. But yeah,
Yeah.
we once again, hopefully they enjoyed the banter. But remember, check out the life screen scanning for your body at this time of year, could save a life. Number two, check out the caves in Kansas City. They're amazing. And number three, keep tuning in to banter. And if you want to comment, webtalkwithbob@gmail.com. Webtalkwithbob@gmail. That's Bob's email address. And tell us,
If
you
you
can
want to
tell
be
us.
interviewed, whether you're a Democrat or Republican or independent, and you have an
Yeah.
opinion that's not pornographic, but is way, way off the charts, an edge thinker, somebody who's going to create a lot of disruption, that's the kind of person we want. So
Yeah.
give us an email and we'll get you on here, interview you, and you can say whatever you like, and we won't delete you very much unless you say something that you disagree with us on. Okay, hey
Okay.
guys, signing off. Have a great day. Happy Wednesday, as Dan the Winsome Guy used to
It's
say, right?
Winsome Wednesday. Yeah, stay winsome and
Hey
keep
there.
listening to banter.
Signing off. There we go.